Intelligent design and DNA. The scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyar. Fred Williams is on assignment. Last month, the Wall Street Journal published an article titled, "A Compromise on Creationism, Mainstream Scientists Shouldn't Completely Shun Organizations Friendly to the Belief." They should not be completely shunned. The article generated reaction, including from the president of Bob Jones University, and from the Discovery Institute, that's Seattle's intelligent design organization. The author of the piece, Dr. Joshua Swamidas of Washington University in St. Louis, he's commented on that reaction. And as we've interviewed a dozen of the leading scientists with the Discovery Institute, including Michael Behe, Paul Nelson, Stephen Meyer, and I've even traveled with many of them on their science cruise to Alaska, we knew it would be an especially interesting discussion with Joshua, the Associate Professor of Laboratory and Genomic Medicine in Biomedical Engineering. So, Dr. Swamidas, I'm Bob Enyart. Welcome to Real Science Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. It's great to join the conversation with you.
Sure. Now, I'm not a fan of your ideas, Doctor, but you advocate for productive dialogue, and so I'm glad you're here. Oftentimes, editors write the title and the subtitle to articles, but this was a Wall Street Journal opinion piece. Did you write the subtitle?
No. So this is my fourth Wall Street Journal article, and every single one of them, they wrote the title and the subtitle.
Yes. So the subtitle is Mainstream Scientists Shouldn't Completely Shun Organizations Friendly to the Belief, Creationism. Do you agree with that subtitle or do you reject it?
I wouldn't have said it that way. I think the completely really confuses the issue. It makes it seem like I'm arguing that we should partially shun them, but just not completely shun them.
And right.
I don't think we should shun creationists. I don't think that that's the right way to address these sorts of disagreements.
You have very strong opinions about how what they would have to do to be accredited here in the U.S. You write that a 2019 Gallup poll showed that 40% of American adults ascribe to a strictly creationist view of human origins, believing that God created them in their present form within roughly the past 10,000 years. When you see that from Gallup, when your colleagues see that from Gallup, how does that strike you?
Well, for me, that's my world. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I go to a church. My family is young earth creationists. And, you know, I see educated, intelligent people that hold to that view. And I see that they're quite common. Now, most of my colleagues are living in a very different world. For the most part, they're generally surprised by that and are in disbelief of it.
Okay. So your colleagues, Louis Finkelstein, I don't know if you've heard of that institute, very prestigious. They did a survey of just U.S. medical doctors. And as you probably know, it's hard to get enough time from a doctor to fill out a survey. For U.S. medical doctors, this was a very large survey, about 1,500 doctors. And in your own field, among highly educated docs, you might be aware of this, that more than 500,000 reject secular Darwinism.
Secular Darwinism, most biologists reject secular Darwinism, so I would hope that it would be 100% rejected.
100%? You would hope that 100%? That's interesting because it's like 99% or so of 5,000 biologists surveyed recently by the University of Chicago state that conception, that life begins at conception. That was about 99% of 5,000. So
that's not secular Darwinism. That's something totally different.
No, I realize that, but that's the kind of number. You're saying you think that about 100% of biologists should reject?
I'd say 100% of informed biologists. Now, there are a lot of uninformed biologists in evolution. There's a lot of biology. There are biologists that don't study evolution or are not really engaged in this component of biology who would think that we're still kind of teaching this outdated theory of Darwinism, which was honestly, you know, since the 60s, since, you know, Michael Behe was in high school, we've moved on from Darwinism.
Well, neo-Darwinism is what all the anti-Darwinists, all the creationists,
we've moved on from neo-Darwinism,
ID folks, we've moved on from neo-Darwinism, but for changes to epigenetics, for example, changes to all the codes in the human cell that are not the genomic code, like the sugar code and so on, there's simply no evolutionary proposals that are in the textbooks.
That's not true. There certainly are evolutionary proposals here.
Okay, for the sugar. For the sugar code, that we know information is packed in the cell, not just in the nuclear DNA. And so the sugar code that does so much within a human cell, what are the proposals for how that code developed or was modified?
Your claim was that there were no proposals.
True. Well, my evidence of that is that you've never heard of one. I've never heard of one. And so there's so much epigenetics. What is the mainstream scientific?
I didn't say I've never heard of one. I'm just saying
I assert, doctor, that you haven't, because I haven't. And I've been reading the literature for 30 years. I mean, consistently, almost obsessively. So epigenetics. What are the mechanisms that modified epigenetics, the way we have mutations for nuclear DNA? What are the mechanisms? There's so much in biology that has indicated that a stepwise process has no conceivable answer apart from design. Do you agree with that?
I don't think that that is what the consensus in science is. I think that you can find a couple scientists that will, not a couple, a few, more than a couple, okay? There's a few scientists that have argued that and have pushed that, but that's well outside the mainstream. I think you know that. I mean, even ID activists or advocates, even if you talk to Michael Behe or to Stephen Meyer, they'll agree with what I just said, that their view is wildly outside the mainstream. They want to change that.
Like, for example, the number of scientists who believe the Earth is flat is zero. Right?
That's
zero.
Not true. Just not true.
Yeah, well, it's by the first order of magnitude. It's like less than 10. Virtually in the world, it's zero.
That's not true. Well, there are scientists that think that.
Give me the name of three. Could you name three? You can't name three. I can't name three. And I've debated.
Look, if you ask most biologists to name people that agree with intelligent design, they couldn't tell you any names either.
Well, we list on our website the names and their degrees of thousands of scientists.
I'm saying they exist. Like, I know Michael Behe. I know I'm doing a dialogue with Gunter Beckley soon. I know Ann Gager.
Awesome. They're awesome. I've interviewed. Ann is wonderful.
So I'm not saying they don't exist, but I'm just saying most biologists don't know who they are.
When you're quantifying for the audience, you said 100% of scientists should realize that neo-Darwinism is false. And I'd like to build on that, and hopefully you would agree that there are thousands of advanced degreed scientists, most of whom hold a PhD in some field of science, who reject secular Darwinism, just like a majority, 60% of U.S. medical doctors
reject. We need to clarify what Darwinism is, because I think you're conflating a few things. First of all, neo-Darwinism or secular Darwinism is a particular view of evolution that emphasizes positive selection-dominated change. We know that that's not the case because there's a large number of non-Darwinian mechanisms that are really critically important. That's the first thing. And the second is that we can't.
That's standard today.
Explain all the details.
That's standard evolutionary thought today, that there are many complex mechanisms other than mutation to explain the diversity of life.
Other than positive selection. So positive selection is the Darwinian process. That's how, for example, Michael Behe refers to Darwinism. When he talks about Darwinism, he's talking about positive selection dominated change. And we know that that's not enough to explain stuff. There's a large number of really important non-Darwinian mechanisms. And this has nothing to do with just focusing in on just mutation or just epigenetics. There's just a large number of non-Darwinian mechanisms that are really critical. Now, anyone who thinks that positive selection-dominated change is correct, which that's what neo-Darwinism is, they're just wrong. They need to get caught up on science.
We've done years of shows on all the developments within the theory of biological evolution, and they're complicated. They're mostly mystifying to the general public, and they're glossed over by the science media, who just tells people that we have figured it out. You don't need God or a creator or a designer to explain the diversity of life on Earth. Can I just finish this point about, you know, all the American adults who ascribe to creationism, and with 60% of U.S. medical doctors, that is 60%, 3 out of 5, ascribe to either God caused humans to develop or God specially created us. It's about 20% and 40%, about 20% of U.S. medical doctors.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, too. I'm one of the people who would say that.
Wait, that 20%, that's about 1 out of 5 almost, that God specially created human beings, specially. So,
I just wrote a book explaining how that's consistent with the evidence.
So the institutions that teach that God specially created us, those
that's
institutions.
Not the problem.
And the problem is then just the age of the earth. That's the problem?
No, that's not even the problem either. The problem that I'm addressing the article is just simply accreditation standards. And that we are
you're dodging, representing
what we teach to one another.
Doctor, isn't that a dodge? You're saying
that's not
the problem. The problem is accreditation. Well, you're saying they shouldn't be accredited if they don't accept faculty who reject creationism.
Actually, I argued the exact opposite, that they should be accredited.
No, you said if, I've got it highlighted right here in your article, if they're willing to accept faculty who dissent from scientific creationism.
That's just the standard rules. So
that's your standard rules.
Creation. No, wait, there's a large number of people who affirm creation, just like me, that believe that God created all things, okay, including us. There's a large number of people out there like that, but still will disagree with scientific creationism. For example, answers in Genesis. So disagree with answers in Genesis.
Sure, right. Of course there are. Probably half of evangelical Christians believe that the earth is old.
Exactly.
And that God used some form.
In a large number of young earth creationist institutions, there's no tolerance for those people.
And you have no standing, by the way, to tell those 20% of U.S. doctors that if they want to go to a school that teaches that God specially created us in the recent past, it's really rather egotistical of you and anyone.
I think that they should tell them. You're saying I shouldn't. That they shouldn't. I'm saying that they should be allowed to go to school like that and then go to college.
They can't be accredited.
Why would you think that I would think of something else? Of course, I'm not trying to exclude them.
You're saying they can't be accredited unless their faculty includes people who dissent from scientific creation.
No, that is not what I said.
Well, I'll read it. I'll read it for you. You said that the accrediting institution, if colleges want accreditation, quote, they should defend the academic freedom of those who dissent from scientific creationism. And you're talking about the faculty.
Yeah, so let me give you some examples.
Yeah.
So a great example would be someone like Todd Wood. Todd Wood is a creationist. He's a young earth creationist.
Right.
And he is a pretty straightforward guy. He's honest. He actually says, you know, that there's a lot of evidence behind evolution. Now, he disagrees with the final conclusion, and he thinks that there is evidence for young earth creation too, and he's trying to build a model that makes sense alongside it. And that's really, he really is a young earth creationist, but he also thinks that, you know, there really is evidence for evolution. He got a lot of heat from young earth creationists over that. They really felt that what he did, because he didn't toe the line on creation science, even though he's a young earth creationist, was really unacceptable. And
so I've been reporting on Todd Wood and Dr. Roger Sanders and their barominology for decades here on this show. And if young earth creationists want to blast another young earth creationist for his opinion, who are you to say that those colleges that would agree with that should not be accredited and their students can't be U.S. medical doctors?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they should be accredited, but they just need to follow the rules on matters like this. the matters like this are that you can't actually fire a faculty member like Todd Woods because of that. In that case, he would actually be agreeing with all the belief statements. He just isn't towing the line on creation science, and then therefore the guy would be fired. In that case, it wouldn't be fair to do that. That's the rules. You can't capriciously fire a person for their personal beliefs when they actually affirm your belief statement. You can't do that.
So when a Christian college quotes Jesus saying that God made us male and female at the beginning of creation, not after billions of years.
I would also agree with that.
No, you don't. You believe God made human beings after billions of years after he created the heavens and the earth. Billions of years later, he created us male and female. So you don't agree with Jesus saying.
No. I do agree with Jesus. I mean, you can feel free to guess what I believe.
Okay, well,
but I certainly do agree with Jesus.
Well, please correct me then.
I have corrected you. I said that you have misrepresented my views.
Yeah, well, tell us what your view is when Jesus said that God made us male and female at the beginning of creation. You affirm that human beings were made at the beginning of creation and not billions of years later?
Why don't you pull your Bible and read that passage word for word?
I've read it in the Greek. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I've taught that passage 50 times.
You know, I'm not going to argue scripture without actually looking at the passage myself, so I don't actually make any mistakes
if you
when I
don't
talk
have
about
that.
It. So let's look at that up. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, great. Thank you. And thank you for doing that. Mark 10:6, for example. So, like verse 7, Jesus said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In the previous verse, he said, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." He's quoting literally from Genesis 1:26. God made them male and female from the beginning of the creation. So he's quoting from the chapter of the Bible that starts, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And Jesus is saying that's when God made man. That's when he made us male and female. By the way, today, if you affirm that we were created male and female, you could be fired from a major institution and you could be canceled unless you affirm that men could menstruate and men could become pregnant. So
let's not go into that side topic.
That's so close to your topic because you're saying unless Christian colleges adhere to this, unless they're willing to hire faculty who reject their views on creation, they cannot be accredited. Their students cannot be
doctors.
Well,
first of all, that's not what I said. Look, that's not what I claimed. I gave you an example of Todd Woods, who's a person who would, for example, agree with an entirely young earth creationist belief statement, but would disagree with creation science on a critical matter.
So,
and for that, he wouldn't be hired by some institutions, and I'm saying that that's not fair.
And that's up to every institution, not you, if they say this person is rejecting.
Well, no, actually, it turns out that that's not how it works.
Look,
there's actually rules about this.
Could you not dodge what Jesus said from the beginning of the creation?
No, you just brought up a side topic. I'm happy to talk about what Jesus said.
Okay, let's do
you
Jesus.
You know, you just brought up a different issue.
Let's do.
Which one do you want to talk about?
Let's do the Lord, and then we'll go back. I'll be happy to let you re-say that you didn't say that. From the beginning of the creation, and Joshua, you should have this memorized. From the beginning of your career in medicine, in the beginning of your efforts as a Christian and understanding origins, this should be so fundamental to you.
Oh, yeah, I've certainly read this passage several times and talked about it and written about it as well several times.
Well,
I have no problem with what Jesus said here.
My point is,
I trust what he says.
I can establish to the audience that you would disagree with Jesus. You disagree.
I don't disagree with Jesus. Well, I disagree with your interpretation of him.
Well, Jesus said from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female.
And I agree with that.
No, you don't. You just lied to the audience. And you're not going to get away with lying to me. You just lied. And you could lie to yourself.
No, I did not lie.
You could try to lie to God, but it's not going to work.
No, I disagree with you. I don't disagree with Jesus.
Okay, so you agree.
I don't disagree with those words.
So you agree that God made us male and female at the beginning of the creation?
Yes.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
Because you think it's billions of years after God made the heavens and the earth.
Look, it says from the beginning of the creation. The creation of what?
Well, it's not the creation of man, because nobody in the world, in the history of the world, said in the beginning of the creation of man, man was created. Nobody says that. Nobody talks
Absolutely.
Like that. That's
it's
like
saying,
a crazy
look, think
person.
Think about it. What he's saying is that there was no point at which time humans were not male and female. From the beginning of the time that I created humans, they were male and female.
from
the obviously, young earth creationism doesn't believe that God created.
There was no
created. Look, when I read Genesis 1, and I'm very familiar with young earth creationist views. Adam and Eve were not created on day one. They were created on day six.
You know the verse.
That's not the beginning. The sixth day is the last day.
You know the verse that warns against the twisting of Scripture?
This is not twisting of Scripture. It is actually pointing out the fact.
There was no.
Look, this is pointing out the fact that if you read Genesis 1.
There was no false.
There's multiple creations. There's creations that happen on every single day.
The rabbis.
And Adam and Eve are created on the last creation.
The rabbis were not claiming that there are genders in between male and female, and Jesus was not correcting some tranny concept. Jesus was saying when God instituted marriage and when God made us at the beginning of the creation.
At the beginning of the creation of man, because it can't be the beginning of all creation, because that
of
happened before
it is.
When man and
that was
when,
six,
when
that,
Adam and Eve were created.
That,
give
that
me a
was
break,
six
man.
Days.
If,
that
are
was,
you going to be a literalist? You actually have to read it literally. If you read Genesis 1, Adam and Eve were not created in the beginning; they were created at the end.
They were created on the sixth day of the creation week, and that week is summed up by God in Genesis.
Oh, so it's
as
summed
this
up
is the
then.
Creation,
so then, but that's
of
not
the
directly what it says
earth.
Here.
Okay, so you think that Jesus was correcting the rabbi's view that some people were not male and female. This is about hermaphrodites. That's what you think.
Look, you can see from the beginning, like he's talking about, give me a break. You just even tried to take that verse to go towards that issue. And then the whole passage is talking about marriage, talking about how God created it in his intended order. And then also in the other passages too that are closely related to this that come right afterwards, he's talking about eunuchs. Who are people who are born that way, who choose to be that way, or who are made that way by other people who aren't fitting into the standard understanding of marriage. And he's trying to show that he sees them and he's trying to make sense of that. Now, to take this, to argue, I mean, like, you got to be careful. If you go too far this way, man, you're going to have Scripture in conflict with Scripture. And that's a clear evidence that you're reading this wrong.
No, that's not going to happen. For example, when God says in the Bible that there were no thorns, there were no weeds, there were no thorns before Adam and Eve sinned, right? Remember that in Genesis?
There was no thorns in Adam and Eve's world before they sinned because they encountered it when they exited the garden. They were out inside the garden for most of the time.
Okay.
Look, you know,
so God
I was
cursed, so God, so
and I
God,
still affirm Scripture is just as strong as I did when I was a young earth creationist. I would even say more strongly.
Well,
one
let
of the
me
key
ask
reasons
you this.
Why I left young earth creationism is how it departed from literalism in Genesis 2 and 3.
Dr. Swamidas.
If you read Genesis 2 and 3, it's really clear that it's talking about borders around the garden. It's describing one world inside the garden and one world outside.
It's not really clear. Dr. Swamidas, when you look at America, of all the nations in the world that are advanced in technology and science, in basic science, for the last century, America by far has had the most young earth creationists, by far, of the world's leading scientific technologically advanced nations.
I don't know, there's a lot of earth creationists in China too.
We launched. In fact, if you look at NASA, right, the first head of NASA, the father of rocket science, although I condemn him for his work in Germany during World War II, Wernher von Braun, he was a creation scientist, right? The fathers of the physical sciences overwhelmingly were biblical creationists. Faraday, Maxwell, Pasteur, Joule, Kelvin, Lister. I've read their works to make my own list of which of the fathers of the sciences believed that the earth was young. Which of them were biblical creationists? Which believed that God specially created us? And it's an extraordinary number, including those who worked after Darwin. It wasn't just before Darwin, like Copernicus, Kepler, right? Boyle, Newton, the greatest scientist who ever lived, Dalton. And Newton wrote more about theology and the history of the earth than he did about physics and math. And he believed the earth was young. Kepler believed the earth was young.
Yeah, so, that's not the problem. I don't have a problem with people believing the earth is young.
Yeah,
that's
but technology and our greatest inventions, these are not based on a belief that the earth is old. Which of our technologies would stop working if suddenly scientists disagreed and thought maybe the earth is young? Which technology is based on the age of the earth? Is there any? I've been listing technologies and inventions on our website for 10 years. We can't find one that would stop working if evolution was no longer believed or the Big Bang.
That's a weird sort of test, my friend. I mean, Bob, look.
Yeah. Well, those inventions.
We were wrong about the age of the Earth, all right? If we were wrong about that, we wouldn't expect technology to stop working. What we would expect is that we wouldn't understand the key parts of how technology was working, maybe.
Well, certainly. If we're wrong about the age of the Earth, right? And people who were wrong.
Because technology without understanding it, right? There's a lot of people who don't understand how a computer works.
Sure. So if people who were wrong about the age of the Earth were able to play a major role in the development of our technology.
That's great. I think there's great scientists that are young Earth creationists. I know.
What that tells us is that bigotry against those Christians, against those institutions, and treating them like children, if you don't allow faculty who disagree with you on this, then your students can't be doctors. That's bigotry.
Well, I didn't say that. I would strongly argue against anyone who tried to do that. Tried to prevent them from becoming physicians and scientists.
They can't graduate from a creationist university.
You absolutely can graduate from a creationist institution. Why would you think that?
I think you're playing games throughout, doctor. As an accredited university, you want to be doctor. You
know, this is a part. So look, this is what happened. I published this Wall Street Journal article,
yes,
which was at a very focused point. The point was that they should be accredited, but they should be accredited playing by the same rules that everyone else has to.
If they accept
and they can still
faculty
be creationists.
Who
they can
reject,
still teach creation science. If they can accept, still do all that. They just need to do it transparently.
If they accept faculty who reject creation.
No, there was
creation.
Nothing about accepting.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Just that they had to grant. Look, there was no claim that they had to teach evolution. They don't have to teach evolution. There was no claim that they had to accept faculty that agree with evolution. I didn't even say that. I just said more tolerance of dissenters from creation science, which is different than creationism.
Okay. I'd like to read your fourth to the last paragraph for the audience, because I'm in shock of what you're claiming you wrote.
Sure.
You said, okay, if we're going to accredit these Christian creationist universities, institutional tolerance of dissenting views ought to be a two-way street. If this creationist accrediting institution tracks is recognized, it should also give more space to students and faculty who disagree over key issues. TRAC's member institutions operate by belief or faith statements with varying levels of tolerance for dissent. And then you're very gracious. You say a reasonable process would not require creationist institutions to modify their faith statements. That's so nice of you, doctor. But to align with national norms, TRACs should defend the academic freedom of those who dissent from scientific creationism. You wrote that faculty who reject creationism need to be protected at Christian creationism.
No, I did not say reject creationism. I said dissent from scientific creationism.
Right, exactly.
That qualifier is important. So creationism is something like an important way. Okay, I'm a creationist. I believe God created all of us.
Well,
right?
Every time I've mentioned creationism, I've meant scientific creationism. Stop the tape. Hey, this is Bob Benyard. We recorded this just before airtime today, and it went long enough for a second program. So please tune in tomorrow, and it'll be on our website, rsr.org, for this lively and important, if not sometimes somewhat intense, conversation. Intelligent.